Hi, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. Governor Mike Dunleavy, in calling on lawmakers to pause their efforts to address a court ruling that threatens the state's homeschool system. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, lawmakers say doing nothing is risky, so it's still full steam ahead.
In Dunleavy's eyes, it's hard to imagine how the ruling could have done more to upend Alaska's education system.
This is literally a disaster, potentially, an emergency. Because of its magnitude, a component of almost 20% of our method by which we educate kids appears to be now considered unconstitutional.
The decision from an Anchorage Superior Court judge found two laws underpinning much of Alaska's homeschool system unconstitutional. Alaska's constitution prohibits spending public money, quote, for the direct benefit of any religious or other private educational institution. And the judge found that payments to homeschool families for things like books and lesson plans had been used for tuition at private and religious schools, which he declared unconstitutional. But Department of Law Civil Division head Corey Mills says the decision throws a lot more spending into question.
It's difficult not to read the decision to say that any private organization is impacted. So a private organization, in the court's opinion, seems to equate to a private educational institution.
And schools spend money on private organizations all the time. Books from McGraw-Hill, busing from First Student, tutoring from Sylvan, the list goes on. The plaintiff's lawyer in the case says the broad interpretation is, quote, bizarre and misleading, and that Dunleavy should instead seek more guidance from the court. But Dunleavy insists there's not much choice but to wait for the Supreme Court to rule.
This is why we're saying a quick fix that some are advocating for, we don't see how it fits into the ruling right now.
But there's still a big unanswered question. We don't know when the lower court's ruling will take effect. Could be real soon, could be the end of June, could be through the appeal process or longer. And Dunleavy is telling reporters he'll likely call lawmakers back to Juneau if the Alaska Supreme Court doesn't allow the homeschool laws to stand. But Senator Bill Welikowski, an Anchorage Democrat, says that could be tough to pull off. The summer and fall is campaign season, and he's not sure legislators would be able to get back together. So he's in favor of passing a law that puts guardrails on how homeschool funds are spent.
If we put a statute in place, or quite frankly, if there are regulations put in place before that, then homeschoolers will have certainty, correspondence school families will have certainty, they'll know what the rules are. And I think if we don't do that, this potentially creates tremendous uncertainty for families that use correspondence schools.
The Senate Education Committee rolled out one possible approach in late April. A sponsor says it would restore the system that existed before the 2014 law that was declared unconstitutional. The House Education Committee has its own version of a fix. It would more closely mirror the more recent homeschool system, but with stricter limits on buying things like ski passes, religious curriculum, and private school classes. Education Committee co-chair Soldotna Republican Representative Justin Ruffridge called for an immediate legislative fix after the decision came out. And despite Dunleavy's call to hold off, he says that's still the plan.
Well, I think if we say we can't pass statutes to fix things, why would we ever pass a statute ever again?
Ruffridge says he agrees with Dunleavy that lawmakers have to think long term, but he says passing a law clarifying the rules for now is a good idea.
We also have to take a view that says, how do we bring stability to folks? It's a lot of people, 23,000 students, so I think we have an obligation to both.
Ruffridge and Welikowski say doing nothing risks leaving homeschool families even more in limbo than they already are. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And the Superior Court judge ruled last night that the ruling would remain on hold only through this June. The court also rejected Dunleavy's broad interpretation of his ruling. And a little over a year ago after it was created, Sitka's Tourism Task Force has completed its work, without setting on a, quote, magic number of annual cruise ship passengers. Instead, the assembly-appointed group adopted recommendations including reducing, quote, peak days, engaging with the visitor industry, and establishing a permanent commission to take its place. KCAW Meredith Reddick reports.
Sitka's cruise ship numbers have nearly tripled since 2019, with some days, such as May 2nd, pushing the number of visitors above 9,000. Task Force member Jeremy Plank supported reducing those peak days, or days with more than one large ship, saying it was a common problem in an otherwise polarizing discussion.
The one thing that I find resounding through everybody that I've talked to is that the peak days were the problem that we had. And I think that looking forward, if we can stabilize that and other initiatives that we're talking about here tonight, I think that that gives Sitka the best chance to move forward while additional data can be collected.
The task force recommended reducing peak days and suggested that the city, which manages lightering facilities at Crescent Harbor, reduce peak days by limiting the size of ships that use those facilities. Another recommendation on the table was whether the city should pursue agreements with the cruise industry. Some members said the city needed more data before entering into those conversations. Task force member Camille Ferguson said she felt torn.
I don't know if the word agreement is there, is the right word in that, or understanding with the industry, some sort of something. You know, there we should be communicating with the industry and our community so we understand each other, that there is an issue and we have to come together to address these issues.
Task Force Chair Jim Michener said conversations with the industry now could help prevent future problems, like the unexpected visit from the cruise ship New Amsterdam on May 2nd.
You know, if there's life-threatening emergencies, of course you may come into town, et cetera. But if all of a sudden Ketchikan doesn't have a dock, that doesn't mean we need to be willing to accept 50 more ships. And I think that's the value of the MOA and the MOU that maybe isn't being talked about, is that we can prescribe those things ahead of time to avoid a further pitfall.
Ultimately, the task force voted to recommend that the city pursue a non-binding agreement with the industry. They also voted on four other directives, including establishing a permanent tourism commission, regulating e-bikes and downtown smoking areas, and maintaining regional tourism collaborations. In Sitka, I'm Meredith Reddick.
Anchorage mayoral candidates Dave Bronson and Suzanne LaFrance faced off in a debate hosted by Alaska Public Media and the Anchorage Daily News last night. As Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, the two sparred over competing ideologies and priorities.
Incumbent Mayor Dave Bronson made homelessness a centerpiece of his debate performance, mentioning his proposed East Anchorage homeless shelter in six different answers. He also described homelessness as a major driver of pedestrian deaths and high rates of violence against women.
We need to protect these women by putting them into a shelter, and that's why for 3 years I've been trying to build a shelter. Somehow this shelter got political, I don't know how, but at the end of the day, that's the path forward.
Meanwhile, former Assembly Chair Suzanne LaFrance focused on providing basic services during the debate. She said she'd prioritize local governance rather than divisive state and national politics.
We've got to get the basics right. And right now, you know, we've got an APD staffing shortage of over 50 sworn officers. We don't have a plan on homelessness, and we've got to figure out a way to plow our streets of snow in the winter.
The moderators asked both candidates questions specifically tailored to them. Bronson was asked about comments he'd made at an Anchorage chamber debate this week, where he described himself as normal and his opponent as woke. Bronson described wokeness as a harmful left-wing platform.
It's a political ideology of the far left. I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it reflects science. I don't think it reflects certainly good public policy.
Meanwhile, LaFrance was asked about concerns that she's too closely aligned with the current assembly. She said checks and balances would continue if she becomes mayor, and when she was on the assembly, there were disagreements.
That is exactly what I would expect as mayor from the assembly, because you've got 12 different people who are working to do their best to stand up for their constituents, and there's going to be some healthy disagreement.
Ballots for the mail-in runoff election are due May 14th. In Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Tomorrow, there will be three cruise ships in Juneau: the Carnival Luminosa, the Norwegian Sun, and the Seven Seas Explorer. The first one arrives at 7 a.m., and the last one leaves at 11 p.m. And it's sunny in Juneau, and the sun's going to keep shining into the evening, but with the addition of a few clouds. The high today was 65 degrees and the low is 43 degrees. On Saturday, it will be a bit more cloudy and the high is expected to reach about 62 degrees with a low around 43 degrees. But on Sunday, there's going to be some rain starting at 7 a.m. and lasting likely into the evening. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for listening and have a great evening.